On the Bookshelf with your host, Dave Doc Kirby.
All of us who are parents or grandparents want opportunities to look for teachable moments for our little ones. Sometimes big concepts can be explained or taught to children if they're done in such a way that it resonates with the way little kids think. That's why I like this series very much from New Growth Press. The particular one we're talking about today is called Chloe and the Closet of Secrets. The author is Ginger Hubbard, who speaks at women's events, parenting conferences, and homeschool conventions across the country, co-hosts the Parenting with Ginger Hubbard podcast. She is the best-selling author of Don't Make Me Count to Three, Wise Words for Moms, and I Can't Believe You Just Said That, and the co-author of the Teaching Children to Use Their Words Wisely series. And she's from Opelika. So Ginger's just right up the road from us. You're an hour and a half away from us. And
yeah.
So that is very cool. You know, I probably just should have said, hey, drive on down and have some barbecue and we'll chat. So your co-author is Al Rowland, who has worked as a software developer for 36 years, does all kinds of cool stuff, including serving several ministries such as RYFO, which provides Christian host homes for traveling musicians. He is the co-author of the Teaching Children to Use Their Words Wisely series. And Al and his wife and kids also live in Opelika. This is a wonderful book that will help them to deal with the fact that when your kids get to a certain age, they find it's easy to lie. And I guess we would say as Christians that that should not surprise us because we live in a broken world.
That's right. That's right. And we need to understand that the sins of the mouth come from the sins of the heart. In Matthew 12:34, Jesus said, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." So we always want to try to get to the heart of those issues and address them from a biblical perspective, because if we can reach the heart, well, then the behavior is going to take care of itself.
In your most recent book, Chloe and the Closet of Secrets, a book about lying, you and Al have created a little girl and her family who has learned that sometimes it's faster to lie than to be truthful, especially if you think you can get away with it. But Chloe learns really quickly that she's not getting away with it nearly as easily as she thought at first.
That's right. Yeah. So in the book, Chloe in the Closet of Secrets, in the story, Chloe thinks that making up stories is not really that big of a deal. But then one day, all of these little fluffs start appearing. Everyone's a lie. And Chloe tries to hide her secrets by stuffing all the fluffs in her closet. But soon the closet is so full that it's ready to burst. And then later in the story, Chloe's dad winds up confessing a lie that he told and asking for forgiveness, which God uses to help Chloe realize that her lies are sinful and they're also hurting her relationship. And so her dad's confession also gives Chloe the courage to confess her own lies and ask forgiveness. So kids just really love, I've read it to several schools and young kids, and they just love the silly story and the fun illustrations, and the whole story is centered around encouraging them to always tell the truth.
Have you written others in the series, in the Teaching Children to Use Their Words Wisely series?
I have. I have written with Al Sam and the Sticky Situation.
Oh,
which
yes.
Which is a book about whining. Yeah.
Oh, that if you don't mind, I'd like to plug that for a moment, too. I got both of them to review at the same time, and I have little grandchildren, and I thought, Oh, these are going to be oh so useful when the moment comes that I need to address things with them. Do you want to talk about Sam and the Sticky Situation also then?
Sure, yeah. So in that story, Sam and the Sticky Situation, Sam figures out that he gets what he wants when he whines. So he starts whining more and more. But as a result of all of his whining, Sam finds himself in quite the sticky situation. He winds up covered in cotton candy from head to toe and stuck on the top of a Ferris wheel. And so later in the story, Sam's mom winds up confessing her own problem with whining, which God uses to help Sam realize his problem. And so in the end, they both learn that nothing they want is more important than God, and they also learn the value of self-control and the importance of asking for God's forgiveness and help.
It shouldn't seem so difficult to talk to our kids about these things, but it often is because of the fact that we are guilty of doing these things. Just like that's what I like about this series, is that we have parents who realize maybe after the fact when their kids start impersonating them or imitating what they have done, realizing that that kids are listening and they are paying attention and they are learning. And if we teach them the wrong things, they can't discern the difference between a wrong thing and a right thing at that age. What age group would you aim Chloe and Sam? What kind of works for them? Are we talking about like five, six, 7 years old, or is that?
Well, the publisher has said that it's great for kids ages 4 to 7, but I have actually read it in some school systems to children that are a little bit older, like even 9 and 10 year olds, and they seem to really resonate with these stories and get really excited when I ask them questions about the stories at the end of the book. So even though it's geared really toward ages 4 to 7, I would say that they're very entertaining and helpful, and they don't seem too young, even for kids that are around 9 and 10 years old.
Well, that is encouraging to me because I have grandkids in all those different age brackets, and I knew that the little ones would love the funny stuff, and then I've read them to my 4-year-old granddaughter and a 6-year-old and her big brother, 6-year-old grandson, and they thought the sticky situation was just a riot, but they figured out what was going on. And of course, then you have the material at the back of the book that the parents and grandparents need to read before they read it to the kids. And that helps you to get into a kind of a discussion with the little ones, doesn't it?
It does. And that's one thing that we really wanted to do in all of these books. We actually have another one coming out next year on teasing. So we'll have whining, lying, and teasing, and maybe we'll keep on going from there. I don't know. But one common denominator that we really wanted to have in all of these books is that parents, you know, we are sinners just like our kids are, and so we have some of these same struggles that children do. So in all of the stories, we're going to have the parent having the same struggle as their kids and admitting that even to their children, and then modeling what the conviction of the Holy Spirit looks like and how we're to rightly respond to that conviction. And so, you know, our kids learn by our example, so sure, they can pick up on some of our bad habits, like when we whine and complain, and hopefully we're not lying on a regular basis, but they may hear us exaggerate some facts in our favor. And so, not to make light of those things, but you know, our kids are going to see us messing up, and so I think it's important that they see us also repenting. And, you know, like I said, that's how they see what a relationship with Jesus really looks like, and how we're to rightly respond to that conviction and make relationships right and ask for forgiveness when we need to. And so that's going to be the common denominator throughout this whole series.
We're talking to Ginger Hubbard, who is the co-author of Chloe and the Closet of Secrets and Sam and the Sticky Situation from the Teaching Children to Use Their Words Wisely series. This is from New Growth Press. Lying is one of the things that is a very common trait of human beings. And why is that?
Yeah, well, you know, hopefully, like I said, none of us are lying on a daily basis, but I think if we're honest, we've all had our moments of, like I said, exaggerating details in our favor or twisting the truth to make ourselves look good or, you know, maybe conveniently leaving out certain facts to protect our guilt. So why do we do those things? Why do we lie? Well, if we really think about it and we really evaluate what's at the heart of lying, I think we would all conclude that most of the time, lying derives from the love and preservation of self. And our children are no different. You know, they're just smaller versions of us. And like us, they'll sometimes even resort to denying the obvious to save face and avoid consequences.
Right.
But what's even worse than lying being motivated by a love and preservation of self is that lying, really, it expresses a lack of trust that God is in control. Because no matter how you slice it, lying is always an attempt to bring about like the response or outcome that we prefer, a response or outcome that suits our own interest. And that's a problem, because when we try to alter a natural response or outcome by lying, we're actually placing ourselves in a position of control rather than trusting God.
You have some suggestions as to how you should deal with the child that lies. And I really like these ideas. And I have to admit that as a parent of grown children who now have little kids, I look back on these ideas and think about how many times I didn't handle it well. And I did the exact thing that you are suggesting here that we should not do, to just yell at them or to punish them, especially because we're angry about them lying, rather than trying to help them understand things. I really like those kind of guidelines. You want to kind of expand on those thoughts?
Yeah, so one thing that we really mess up sometimes is just by punishing them for lying. And, you know, consequences are definitely a part of training children to not lie, but to just merely punish a lying child, that can actually wind up doing more harm than good, because what we view as, I'm punishing you because you lied, the child's going to view as, no, you're punishing me because you found out the truth, and then they just become better at lying. Right. And then another dangerous response to lying is anger, which can cause the child to fear admitting that he lied and dig his heels even deeper to try and cover that lie. And so those are things that we want to avoid. And one biggie, too, that we don't think about sometimes is we want to avoid putting labels on our kids. In other words, if we're absolutely certain that the child has lied, it's better for us to address the fact that he lied rather than calling him a liar. If we call him a liar, we're labeling him a liar rather than encouraging him to live in the forgiveness and atonement of Christ.
I think that's so important, and it's so easy to do it, to respond the way that we tend to do, which is to be mad at them. But you're right. If they view telling the truth after they've lied, that we punish them for having lied, then it just teaches them how to be a better liar so that they don't get caught. That certainly is counterproductive.
Right.
Switch over. I want to talk about Sam as well. How do we help kids to understand the damage that's done to our spirits, really, and to our relationship with God by being whiners?
Well, I think, you know, whining has become such an issue in our culture today. You know, we all struggle with whining. I struggle with whining. As a matter of fact, I whined the other day, and one of my adult kids whipped out my book and said, "Who wrote this book about whining?" But, you know, what's so really sad, though, with kids is that a lot of times children whine just because they're allowed to whine. Parents are often responsible for the habits of their children. And one thing that I always like to do in my books and my seminars is I like to encourage parents to always look past that outward behavior and address the issues of the heart from a biblical perspective. And so with really young children, I think the easiest way to address whining is to talk with them about how it's a lack of self-control. And, you know, what's really sad about it is that children who use demanding forms to communicate their wants and needs, they're in bondage to their emotions and lack of self-control. And an enslaving addiction to whining, it just doesn't make for a happy child or a happy parent or a happy anybody else around them because it's annoying. And so we want to help them understand. I would give a personal example about whining. My daughter really struggled with that. And let's just say that she comes into the kitchen when she's like 5 years old and she wants a cup of juice. And instead of just asking in a normal tone of voice, she whined for it. I would ask her a very simple, heart-probing question, just something like, "Honey, are you asking for juice with your self-controlled voice?" "No, sweetheart, you're not. And God wants you to have self-control, even with your voice. And so because I love you so much, I want to help you get that self-control." And so I had a little timer that I kept with me, and I would set that timer for 3 minutes, and I would say, "When the timer goes off, then you may come back and ask for juice with your self-controlled voice." So see, I didn't preach a sermon to her. Right. I didn't use words that she couldn't understand. You know, whining can be an issue of self-control. So I had her just, you know, wait 3 minutes and then come back and ask the right way. With self-control. And, you know, a lot of parents are probably listening right now and say, "Yeah, well, that might work for your kid, but you don't know my kid. He's stubborn. He wouldn't come back and ask when that three-minute timer goes off." Well, to that I say, natural consequences. If they're not willing to come back and ask with self-control, then the natural consequence is they don't get to have that cup of juice.
It really is ubiquitous, isn't it? That whining is really just saying my wants and my needs are more important, and therefore if God isn't doing everything to make me happy, then I'm going to let everybody know it. And I'm going to make
That's
him,
right.
you know, I'm going to make him know that I'm unhappy with him, and he better hop to it.
That's right. And then, you know, older kids who whine, that's when we could go a little bit deeper with it. And because a lot of times whining, when kids are demanding their wants and desires be met, it can be rooted in the sin of idolatry. And so, but, you know, I'm a little hesitant to talk about that when I'm talking to parents of with really young kids, because, I mean, obviously we can't prop our three-year-old on our lap and launch into a long conversation about idolatry, because that's just not going to fly with a three-year-old.
Right.
It's just going to be over their head. But as they grow and mature, we do need to help them recognize and understand that sin of idolatry, because it's a biggie. It's also vital that we recognize it in ourselves. And we can know that whining is rooted in the sin of idolatry when we start believing that our temporal wants and desires are going to satisfy us more than God. The Apostle Paul talked about those who substituted the temporal for the eternal in Romans 1:25. He said they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worship and serve created things rather than the Creator. So a good indicator, you know, God gives us all of these gifts for us to enjoy, but a good indicator that gifts are becoming idols is when the absence of them or the withholding of them ruins our trust and ruins our delight in the goodness of God. So as children mature, we want to begin warning them against the dangers of idolatry, and a very simple way to explain that, even to a really young child, might be to say something like, honey, idolatry is when a person or thing is loved more than God, wanted more than God, desired more than God, treasured more than God, or enjoyed more than God.
Well said. If you're joining us, you're joining us pretty late, but I want to let you know who we're talking to. We're talking to Ginger Hubbard, who, along with writing partner Al Roland, is the author of Chloe and the Closet of Secrets, a book about lying, and Sam and the Sticky Situation. Both of these are from the Teaching Children to Use Their Words Wisely series, which is from New Growth Press. The illustrator, by the way, is this Veronica Kuthiek?
I think that's how you say it.
Okay.
Sounds right to me. That's our Alabama pronunciation of it anyway.
Absolutely. I think this is just fun because Ginger and her husband live in Opelika, and Al and his wife, Jennifer, live in Opelika as well. So did you guys meet at church or anything? How did you two get together to be co-authors?
We have known each other for years. I actually went to school with Al's wife, Jennifer, from, gosh, I think about fourth grade.
Wow.
And so I've known Jennifer forever. And then Al, I think I met him around high school. And so Al, actually, when I got in ministry years and years and years ago, he is really good with tech stuff and websites and that sort of thing. So he has always helped me behind the scenes with my website, and I'm very technically challenged. So I'm always calling him with emergencies. So he helps me with all that stuff. So for goodness, probably over 20 years, he has worked behind the scenes with me. And I have written parenting books for over 20 years, and I've always wanted to write books for kids to really help children understand some of the same concepts that I'm teaching the parents. And so, but I wasn't very creative in coming up with storyline ideas for children. And so we were on Lake Martin one weekend, our family spending the whole weekend together. And I remember we were out on the pontoon boat, and Al said, you know, I think I have a good idea for a children's story about whining. And when he told me his idea, I just thought it was fantastic. And so I said, you know, let's give this a shot. So we took Al's idea about the fair and Sam getting all covered in cotton candy when he kept whining for it and stuck on the top of the Ferris wheel. And he just turns out to be, Al, instead of very tech savvy, he's also super creative. So after 20 years of him working behind the scenes, we wound up writing that book together. And then we pitched the idea to New Growth Press, and they liked it. And we did need a little bit of training in how to write for kids. And they have a great children's book author there, a best-selling children's book author, Marty Michalski. You've probably heard of him. And
yeah.
So he kind of took Al and me under his wing and taught us how to write for kids.
Yeah.
And so that's how it all came about.
Well, that is very cool. I would have to say that people, I've been reviewing books for the radio station, well, since 1988. And people are always saying, well, gee, don't you want to write a book? And I say, nah, I talk to people that write books all the time. It's a lot of work.
Yes.
You know, I'd rather, thank you very much, but I'd rather read the books and then talk about them, about how they wrote them, because it seems to me that writing a book, even a children's book, right, wink, wink, mm-hmm. Is not something
yep.
you just wake up one day and say, hey, I've got a great idea. I think I'll write this down, send it to a friend of mine, check it out, see if the kids like it, and we'll get it published next week. That would be lovely, but that's just not the way it works.
Yeah, a little more involved than that. Actually, writing for children turned out to be very hard. It comes way more naturally for me to write for adults. It's just a whole different ball game writing for kids, which is why we were super thankful for Marty to step in and help us do that in a way that would really appeal to the younger audience.
Yeah, I can understand that. How long did it take you guys to write these two books?
Well, you know, we just kind of bounced it back and forth for probably a few months. You know, the first draft, I looked back at that the other day. It's so bad. I don't know why the World Growth Press even said they would publish it. And so it took a lot of rewrite. So I would say probably 3 or 4 months of sending it in and then having us rework it. And then they were actually the ones that came up with the idea of having the parent have the same struggle as the kid, which we
gotcha.
Just loved that.
Right.
And so then we went back in and, you know, added that part in. And so everything that they had us do definitely made it a better book. You know, we were about ready to pull our hair out because every time we would send it in, we'd think, okay, this is it. And then they'd come back and say, well, how about making this change? And so, but I will say that every change they had us make, it definitely improved the book. They are a wonderful publishing house and just rock solid theology-wise.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
They just want to produce top-notch good books. And so they don't let up on their authors until those books are exactly how they need to be. So we are very honored to get to work with such a fantastic publishing house that really wants to honor God with good quality books that bring Him glory and encourage families.
Now, I must admit that New Growth Press is pretty new to me, and I mostly got involved with them because a publicist with whom I have worked for over 20 years started working for New Growth Press 2 or 3 years ago, Audra Jennings, and she got in touch with me and said, hey, I'm working for this new outfit now. Would you like to see some of the books they have? And I've been extremely impressed by the children's books, certainly, are just really, really lovely. I've had the privilege of reviewing a lot of them, including your two. But the adult books, so to speak, that they write are really solid, and like you say, just really good stuff. Is New Growth Press a relatively new publishing house, or have they been around a long time and I just didn't know about them?
You know, I think they've been around for a while because I speak at a lot of homeschool conventions and I know that they have had a booth at those conventions for years, but I'm not sure exactly how old they are. And, you know, I've worked with quite a few publishing houses now, and I actually worked with one of the largest in our country. And I just, New Growth Press, they are just phenomenal to work with. I mean, I very much enjoyed working with Audra, and they just, everything they do it right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm just so impressed with everything that they put out.
You mentioned websites. Let's go ahead and say you've got gingerhubbard.com as a website. You've got, you're on Facebook at Official Ginger Hubbard, which makes me ask, was there someone who was trying to clone you or something? Or
Well, apparently there's more than one Ginger Hubbard, and so she already had that. And, you know, but we should have said Ginger Hubbard Official, because when people just search me, it's hard to find me on Facebook. I'm actually way more active on Instagram.
Okay.
And most of my audience is the younger generation, the younger moms with younger kids, and they tend to be a little bit more active on Instagram.
Okay.
So you can find me on Instagram at ginger.hubbard, and I offer daily encouragement and parenting advice there. But my favorite way to connect with parents is through my podcast, Parenting with Ginger Hubbard. We put out a new podcast every Monday, and we are just super passionate about helping parents move past the frustrations of not really knowing how to handle different issues that their kids struggle with and into a confident and biblical and heart-oriented approach to raising their kids.
And by the way, on Instagram, you go to @ginger.hubbard. That's with two B's.
Mm-hmm.
And New Growth Press, if you'd like to see some of the other books that Ginger's been alluding to, newgrowthpress.com, pretty simple. They also are on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Pinterest. So if you go looking for MGP Books or New Growth Press, then you'll find it at any of those places. So you said you are potentially working on another book for this series. Do we want to tease people about it, or we mostly want them to?
Yeah.
Okay.
We are really excited about that one. We've actually already written that one, and the same illustrator, Veronica, she is working on the illustrations right now. As a matter of fact, last week they sent us some of her sketches, and she is just so, she's actually in the Ukraine. So your listeners, if they want to pray for her, that would be great.
I wondered what the name.
And so Yeah. So she's in Ukraine, and her family was in a lot of danger. They were right there, you know, where all the bad stuff was going on. I think they're safe now.
Oof.
So, but anyway, so we've already finished the book on teasing, and we are really excited about that one. That one is called, I think the title that we've landed on is Sean and His Shrinking Sister.
Mm-hmm.
And so every time Sean teases his sister, she shrinks. So that's going to be really fun. And that one will come out, I think they have that one slated to come out in January, so the first of the year. So that'll come out exactly 1 year after they released these two, the Sam and the Chloe books.
Mm-hmm. Well, then we'll just have to make a date to talk when we get closer to Christmas, okay?
Yeah. Awesome. Sounds great.
Awesome. Well, listen, anytime you're coming through Troy to go down to the beach or anything, just call the radio station. You have our phone number now. And we can get together and I introduce my wife to you, and we can all sit around and visit a little bit. I'd love to do that.
I would love that. Okay. Yeah, excellent. That sounds great, for sure. Okay.
All right, very good. Our guest today, Ginger Hubbard, the co-author of Chloe and the Closet of Secrets, a book about lying, and Sam and the Sticky Situation, a book about whining. Both of these are from the Teaching Children to Use Their Words Wisely series, which is from New Growth Press. Her co-author is Al Rowland, who is a longtime friend of theirs, which I just think that's lovely. So thank you again. Is there anything else that you wanted me to ask you and I didn't ask you?
I don't think so. I think we covered some pretty good stuff.
Okay, excellent. And thank you for hanging on a little longer with me. Once we got started, I realized, hey, I'd like to take this all the way to the 30-minute mark, so that's what we got to do. So thank
sure,
you for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Ginger. Okay. Again,
awesome.
Thank you so much for making time to talk to me, and thank you for the great books. I enjoyed them, and I have already read them to some of my grandchildren, and I look forward to reading it to the others, too. I think they're wonderful books, and they get the point across very well.
Well, good. Well, I appreciate that encouragement, and I hope all your grandkids will continue to enjoy them.
Me, too. Thanks a lot. Ginger Hubbard, again, our guest today on The Bookshelf, and her books, Chloe in the Closet of Secrets and Sam in the Sticky Situation. Her co-author is Al Rowland, and they're both from New Growth Press. So look for Chloe and the Closet of Secrets and Sam and the Sticky Situation, both from the Teaching Children to Use Their Words Wisely series from New Growth Press, written by Al Rowland and our guest today, Ginger Hubbard, illustrated by Veronica Kutyuk. And available again from New Growth Press. We'll see you next time right here on your favorite radio station and hopefully your favorite podcast on thebookshelf.podbean.com. Until then, I'm your host, Dave Doc Kirby. Thanks for listening, and God bless.